Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema from thedraftnetwork.com here on a Fan Friday to answer your questions and to talk more about edge rusher prospects like we have all week. If you haven't listened, go back Monday through Thursday and check out us talking about most of the top edge rush prospects in this class. There's a couple guys we didn't get to that I would have liked to get to, but for the most part, we've covered a lot of names and a lot of ground, Trevor. So to help us do that even more effectively today, we brought in the edge pass rushing scout guru himself, John Owning, to join us on the show. You can find him at Twitter, on Twitter, at John Owning, John with an H. He spells it the right way, unlike myself. You can give him a follow, guys. He is absolutely tremendous. Breaks downs and all kinds of cool stuff. And he just got back from his honeymoon. John, how was the honeymoon?
Oh, it was phenomenal. Sunshine, you know, went scuba diving, didn't see an octopus, so I'm still alive. I'm feeling good.
Do you have a fear of octopuses?
Octopi? I'm terrified of octopuses. They're so smart, man. So smart.
Wow.
Have you seen the stories about them? Have you seen the stories of them taking off their own lids, going out, eating some other fish, and then going back and putting their lids on? That's scary as shit, man.
Oh, my gosh. That's terrifying.
Man, look at the videos of when you see, like, the hunters in Asia and Malaysia and stuff trying to kill octopus. It immediately goes through your windpipe. How does it know? How does it know instinctually to go after your windpipe in your neck? That scares me. You get an octopus that's half my size, and I'm ghost.
So an octopus is an actual, like, assassin fish.
They're aliens. They're aliens, and the only reason we don't think they're aliens is because they're here on Earth for some reason.
Is there a word for being specifically afraid of octopus?
A phobia.
Octophobia.
Right, like something of
octophobia.
I'm gonna Google this. All right, you can start. You can start the actual. You can start it now. I'm gonna.
John,
this.
You're also starting a podcast of your own, right? Best Coast Boys. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yes, sir. Me and Landon McCool have started a Cowboys and kind of general podcast. We're gonna be having a lot of fun. We're gonna have a lot of great guests. I've actually got Carl Lawson's gonna come on the podcast when the Cowboys play the Bengals. I think week 3 of the preseason. So we're gonna have a lot of fun guests, a lot of fun topics. Check us out. Our debut is next week.
Next week? What day?
There we go.
I think we're doing Wednesday.
Wednesday, Best Coast Boys podcast. And talking to Carl Lawson, tell him how we had first-round picks on him, and the haters let him go till the fourth round, and we were not a part of said hater group.
Yeah, we were never. We were always a part of the always. Carl Lawson, you know, edge. I don't know if you had him edge 2. I had him edge number 2.
I think, you know, I had him 3. Yeah, I had him 3. Yeah. If you count Solomon Thomas as
he's an assassin. He's so much more adept than most people coming out with angles, with hands, with footwork, you know, hand placement, hand timing, all of those things that we look for in edge rushers. He really had coming out. The only bad things that were really permeating his scouting report were injuries and a lack of length.
Yeah, for sure.
And Carl Lawson said, you know what? I got a lack of length. Well, I'm going to use the long arm move to get like 3 of my sacks my rookie year. So, take that, NFL. Right.
By the way, cephalophobia is the word.
Cephalophobia.
Yeah.
I'm definitely cephalophobiaite, then for sure.
Wow. That's very interesting. Okay, John, we got a lot of questions for you, but first we got to just open up the topic in general. You started watching 2019 draft prospects. Who has really stood out to you in a positive light so far?
Well, obviously, you got the Bosa, Mr. Nick Bosa. He's fantastic. You know, he's just like Joey. He's really good with his hands, really good with his footwork. I'd like to see him be a little bit more diverse with his footwork. He could be a kind of one track with it, but it works really well right now, and it's something that he'll continue to develop, just like Joey did when he got into the NFL. I think he's actually listed a little bit bigger than Joey, so it's going to be interesting to see how he tests athletically. But I see all the similar things. You know, he gets his hips and his shoulders down that runway towards the quarterback, so it mitigates any little hip flexibility he may not have. Mm-hmm. He's just a really good player. He's going to be a top 5 pick. Him and Ed Oliver are the top 2 players in this draft, hands down. And then kind of my favorite pass rusher besides him, edge defender, is Brian Burns from Florida State.
There we go.
Yeah, I usually fall for those, you know, those long, bendy guys. I was a Kimiko Torre fan last year. Everybody knows how big of a Randy Gregory fan. And he's kind of that in that same ilk. He's got that great get off. He's got a really, he's really, really bendy. His stance, both in his 2-point and 3-point stances, aren't that great. His 2-point stance is really bad. His 3-point stance gets worse as he gets tired. His butt starts to drop and it causes his pad level to rise, which, you know, ruins his good get off and his ability to get a step ahead of the offensive lineman.
Yeah, you were spot on with Burns because, you know, I had only seen one game, and I, Trevor, I have to apologize to you for this because I'd seen the Alabama game and I didn't see anything in that game. And Trevor was like, no, I'm excited about him. I think he can be a good player. And I was like, eh, I don't know if I really see it. And then I watched more games in our database yesterday. I watched the Miami game, the Clemson game, and the Florida game. And my goodness, like, talk about games where he, you know, he definitely showed and flashed a lot of talent and high ability. Potential is there, man. Yeah, potential is definitely there for him to be a first-round pick. I'm fully on board now.
There you go.
Yeah, he's definitely a guy that needs to become more consistent. You know, he kind of goes in and out through games. But you see those the flashes that he has are really special. His ability to drop his pad level while he's turning the corner so he can take in a more acute angle is really special. And that's the type of thing you only see from the best kind of pass rushers. And that really, really intrigues me. And I'm really excited to see what he can do this year. Hopefully he takes the next step.
You kind of thought Rashawn Gary, you and I talked a little bit. We thought, you thought similar to me, I think, on Rashawn Gary. Kind of an odd mover, not sure that he's really all that he's kind of hyped up to be at this point in time. What were your impressions there?
He's definitely, if he stays on the same path he is right now, he's going to be a guy that gets drafted way higher than his current talent stays, says. And that's because he's such a crazy athlete. You know, you see the stuff on the freaks list. He's running like a 6'6 or 6'7 3 cone drill, which is insane.
Yeah.
But an interesting thing that I saw with him is that he looks duck-footed when he's running up the arc. You see, right. I think it's his left foot is always pointed, not even close to the QB, and that causes him to have to create insane angles with his hips and his ankles to be able to corner, and that's just something that, like, only Superman can really do. He can't do that. He's not that great. And then his hand timing is really bad right now. He's really, you see him a lot of times swiping and missing totally on his hands. His placement can be too far outside and too far and too low at times. So when you get offensive linemen that are good at re-leveraging their hands inside, he's kind of screwed. But it's going to be interesting to see how he develops because his teammate, Chase Winovich, is actually a pretty developed edge defender. So as long as he puts in the time, you know he's getting the good enough coaching to be able to become the player that we want him to become, but he's just not there yet. Misses too many tackles. And another thing that really bothered me is that you notice when he gets to an edge and he beats hands, he starts to drift way too wide of the block, and it gives offensive linemen an ability to recut him off, you know. And he needs to stay tighter with that. It's really inhibiting his ability to get a lot of production that he could have had when he wins with his hands, when he gets in a good position to get on the pathway towards the quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. I am curious to get to some of these questions. I think that you're spot on about Rashawn Gary because I think it's something people do need to hear. But before we jump to these questions, Cleveland Farrell is a hotly debated topic right now on social media and stuff because there's some people that think this guy's a lock top 10. There's other people who think he might not be a first round pick. And, you know, Trevor and I are probably somewhere between that group, like some things about him. We kind of see him pretty similarly. I think Trevor might like him a little bit more than I do, but where do you see Cleveland Farrell at? And do you think that there is a higher ceiling for him in a way that he can work himself into that first round conversation if you don't think he's there already?
Yeah, I think he's probably a day two guy right now, just based on what he's shown in the NFL. I don't see this lock firm guy that a lot of these guys, that a lot of other draft Knicks think. Sorry, Joe Marino. some of my notes on him were, you know, he false steps out of his 2-point stance. His when he engages with two hands at the point of attack, his hands are way too wide. He's way better when he long arms at the point of attack. His pad level rises too much out of his stance. He has good eye discipline for the most part. He does a good job in initiating first contact, but he lacks power. He uses his length well, dominates against tight ends, which is something you can't say about his teammate, Austin Bryant, who gets blocked way too often. tends to lose a step on contact against stronger offensive tackles. Really bad footwork against the up the arc. Doesn't get his toes pointed toward the QB consistently. has a tendency to take a gallop or gather step when he's turning at tight angles, which indicates a lack of flexibility. Tends to really gear down when he has to change direction. Has good uphill bursts, like his two-hand swipe. Needs to drop his pad level when using grip moves more. He doesn't. A very consistent part of him is he doesn't drop his hips or lower his pad level when he's initiating his moves or when he's trying to corner effectively. It's just not that great. And one thing that I saw that he actually won a couple of times was his stutter step was nice. His technique and his cadence of his feet were good, but he was losing too much speed. And if he loses too much speed, even if he gets an offensive tackle to bite in the NFL, when you're going against more athletic offensive tackles, they're going to be able to recover. And then another thing is he's really bad on slants. He's really lazy. He doesn't really try to rip through on those slants. He kind of just like tries to occupy space.
I feel like. Yeah. Like throws his body around. No, I agree. I think it's a good assessment of him. By the way, folks, this episode is sponsored by Core Essentials. That's K-O-R-E. Core Essentials makes the best belt you'll ever own. What makes the Core track belt so awesome? No belt holes. That's right. Instead, their belts use a hidden track in the back of the belt with over 40 size points to choose from. Ever wonder why your pants slip and turn that waistline into a gut? Every day as you work, walk, eat, and play, your waist size actually fluctuates in and out just a little at a time. The Core track belt adjusts to match your waist exactly. Each point on the Core track belt is just a quarter inch apart. That simple, small innovation means you get a precise, steady, and comfortable fit every time you put it on. Removing or adjusting your track belt is simple. Just pinch the small tab under the buckle. Core's patented design also makes it easy to remove the buckle or swap styles. Core track belts ship one size to fit every waist from 24 to 44 inches with an XL belt that goes up to 54 inches. You adjust the size yourself using their easy guide. Core offers a full line of fashion belts, including classic double-stitched with full-grain leather and smooth belts with no stitching, as well as gun belts for concealed carry. They also offer a stylish assortment of buckle faces made using solid stainless steel or high-grade zinc alloys. Core's men's belts carry a 30-day money-back guarantee and a full one-year warranty against all defects, unusual wear, or breakage. So feel confident when you shop and know that you're covered. But trust me, you're going to love it and want to get rid of all your other belts. Visit coreessentials.com to learn more and to get your own Core track belt to see firsthand why it's the best belt you'll ever own. Seriously, once you go Core track, you'll never go back. And we've got a special offer just for our listeners. Save 10% off your order when you use our code LOCKEDON at checkout. LOCKEDON is the code. That's Core with a K. coreessentials.com and use the code LOCKEDON to save 10% off your order. We thank Core Essentials for sponsoring today's podcast.
Can I ask one more thing before we get into the fan questions?
Go for it.
John, I heard you were a big Sutton Smith guy.
Oh, yes. I'm a huge Sutton Smith guy.
Let's talk about it.
I'm still talking to John Ledyard after his terrible slander that he spewed about my man from Northern Illinois. Yeah, basically, I like everything about him. I think, you know, he was obviously the most productive edge rusher in college football last year. He has a wide variety of footwork that he uses. He has the speed. He has the bend. He has the hand technique. You know, he's good with his hand placement. He needs to, you know, develop that more and become more varied with his approach, just like any college football player is. But the only thing that I really don't like about him is just his size. You know, he's 6 foot. John said he is listed by NFL DSM. What, 225 or something like that?
Yeah,
correct.
So that's obviously a concern playing on the edge in the NFL. But I really think he's going to be an exception to the rule. You know, it's risky projecting exceptions to the rule. So I try to be very diligent and scarce with my labeling of people being an exception of the rule. But I really think he's going to be. He is way too adept and way too technically sound for him to play somewhere else, in my opinion. That doesn't mean the NFL is not going to do it. You know, he's small, so I don't put it past the NFL to play him at linebacker like John has stated repeatedly. But I really think that he can be an effective edge rusher. You know, just as like Elvis Dumervil is an exception, I think Sutton Smith can be an exception. I think he'll be able to gain weight, get in that 245 plus area once he enters the NFL. And if he gets there, I'll be totally fine with him playing on the edge.
He's fun. I like a lot of his tape for sure. It's an enjoyable tape to watch just because you're watching him put on a pass rushing clinic against a lot of the guys that Northern Illinois goes up against. But, and I was telling John this earlier this week, I would love for this guy to be like what Trey Hendrickson was in my mind, just like pure effort, beating up on small competition, doing the things that he does well. But Hendrickson was 50 pounds heavier, four inches taller. So it's hard for even me to kind of want him like that. So I think I'm in the same boat that John is, you know, both of you guys, actually. You know, the concerns are obviously going to be there for every single person that watches Sutton Smith's tape, comes up with a scouting report with him. But I don't know. I think that as the NFL is, we're seeing teams try to not necessarily go for a four-man front, but almost like an eight-man front with two different units that they can rotate in at any time. I think the Sutton Smith's going to be able to play in the NFL. It's just how high you really draft a guy like that, knowing that I think he's probably going to be a second-string rotation, even though he can get plenty of playing time and have impact. You can't really trot him out there on first downs or anything like that. He's more of just a specialist. So how high do you draft specialist guys, even if you like what he can do?
Yeah, exactly. I don't want anybody to think that my love for him means I want to take him in like the first or second round or anything.
Right.
I
really okay.
Understand his limitations and his size limitations. You know, I understand that he's going to be a late day two at best, probably a day three type player, but I'll take that guy on my team any week. And This year is going to be interesting. He's going to get tested a lot early. You know, in the three of the first 4 weeks, he's got Iowa, Utah, and Florida State on the schedule. So we're going to learn a lot about Sutton Smith and whether he's just beating up on tomato cans or he can actually play.
Our boy Owen Reese slid into my DMs the other day, and he said he threw out a Sutton Smith comp. It's going to trigger John to no end. He said Eric Stryker is his comp for Sutton.
This guy. Where's the? Oh, I'm gonna fly to Wisconsin.
Owen's getting choked out.
Oh man, I'm coming, Owen. I'm coming.
That's funny. Hey, first question from the fans though is a doozy. So prepare yourself. Which holiday offensive football team would you select? Christmas team.
All right, you got to be slow with this question because I read it and it's a lot.
Here's
so.
The Christmas team. The quarterback is Krampus. The running back is Rudolph. The wide receivers are the Woodland Critters from South Park. The tight end is the Grinch. The O-line is Santa, Frosty, Buddy the Elf.
Oh,
or
dang.
Halloween, quarterback is Mike Myers. Running back is Chucky. Wide receiver is the Addams Family. Tight end is Hannibal Lecter. O-line, Frankenstein, Jack Skellington. Good luck. Good
I think
luck.
I think I'm going Christmas.
I'm trying to figure.
I think I'm going Christmas.
I don't know South Park. So
if Rudolph can just bite the ball and just, you know, gallop forward.
I just feel like Halloween team's going to have more tenacity, though. They're going to be
scare factor.
Meaner.
Yeah, scare
factor. How does Krampus's nails affect his ability to throw the ball? And how come Rudolph can't catch the ball because he has no hands and he has hoofs? What is that? What's going on?
Right.
You know, it's just it's not really a running back in the passing game kind of an offensive game plan, you know?
Right. Yeah.
You better hope those thin critters are ready for a large volume.
Who's the O-line for Christmas?
Santa, Frosty, and Buddy the Elf.
Oh, man.
It's a pretty strong O-line. Santa's
we're winning up front, baby.
Halloween has Frankenstein, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then it's Jack Skellington.
I'm going Halloween.
Good
I'm going
takes on all sides.
The Addams Family? How are you going to cover the Addams Family? How?
Yeah, it's true. Right. We don't even know who the DBs are.
I know. We need both sides of the ball here. I'm going. I'm still going Christmas.
All right. He did say, do keep in mind for betting and fantasy purposes that this is a half-point PPR league, and we're spotting Christmas 14 points.
Take
so
it.
There you go. Yeah. Name three soccer players that you would draft to your NFL football team for the World Cup. And P.S., don't be the guy that drafts a kicker.
Oh, I read this question and didn't realize that the World Cup part was at the end of it.
Well, yeah, I guess it is. It was like a hashtag World Cup. I don't feel like you have to just be I don't know anything about like soccer.
Any three soccer players, I would go. Obviously, Kylian Mbappe, because he's insane.
That's the guy for France, right?
Yes. He's crazy. I would go wild card and throw Mario Balotelli in there just because he's absolutely insane. He'd be like the Chad Ochocinco, and never know what he's gonna do next. He's played all over Italy. He played for Manchester United, or he played for Manchester City for a while.
Okay.
And he played for Milan. And he's played for Inter.
What position?
He's a striker, 100%. Okay. Goal scorer, baby. So like
you're only drafting goal scorers, I'm guessing.
The Chad Johnson comp is like so great with Balotelli. And then obviously I gotta pick Zlatan Ibrahimovic because he's massive.
You just wanted to say his name. Neither John nor I know who that is.
Ibrahimovic. Yes.
Only reason I know who Zlatan is because of the Dan Le Batard show.
There you go.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Okay, John, this one's for you. What is your minimum weight for a guy to play with his hand in the dirt?
Nice question.
It depends on frame. It's not like a starch rule, but it's
Sutton. We don't want to hear that. It depends. What? Give us a number.
235, sir. 235.
So Sutton Smith can't play with his hand in the dirt.
Not current. If he walked into the NFL right now, no, but.
Yeah, no way.
Last time I checked, he can eat some food in between now and April.
I can't confirm. You're not allowed to do that.
260-pound Elvis Dumervil is your comp.
How heavy was Elvis Dumervil when he came out?
257.
Was he really?
Yeah, he was 257.
Jeez Louise, what kind of...
I don't know where he... It's all in his butt, dude. His butt and his legs were huge. That's where he had it. He had that power.
That's what people call thick.
He's very hashtag thick. And he was actually... He was listed like 5'11". And
we're just going to get Smith on
Dumervil's
that.
5'11"?
Dumervil was, I think he was listed 5'11 and a half. If you look on NFL Draft Scout for his combine, it says 5'11 and a half. If you look on Mock Draftable, which typically the numbers are exactly the same, it says Dumervil was 6'1 at the combine. So I'm not sure which to trust.
We got some investigating to do here.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard people say he was under 6 foot, but he is. He's thick.
I guess I did not realize that he was that small.
Yeah. He's a thick dude. 49ers will select blank edge rusher with a 32nd pick in the 2019 draft. So if the 49ers pick last in the draft,
according to you guys, it'd be Cleveland Farrell, right?
Unlikely, but I don't know.
Farrell's an interesting Sweat. Fit. Montez Sweat would be fun, I guess.
Yeah. So what do you think?
John thinks Sweat's going earlier than that.
Well, I think he has the potential to. I would say
right now. You put it down. Nope. You said he is 100%. You can't go back on.
Also, I don't think the 49ers are picking 32nd. I don't think they're picking 32nd. So let's say they're picking in the teens.
What a hater.
That is so Ledyard to care more about the question than give an answer.
Listen, you got to get all parts of it right, you know?
That is so on brand for you, John. It's like, whoa, 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 hold on. I know you're having fun in your own reality you created, but let me go ahead and tear that apart brick by brick.
I'm just here to bring people back to reality at all
You're
times.
Not getting a good edge rusher.
I know I'm a killjoy.
And you're not picking 32, so good question.
Yeah. Not only are you not getting a good player, you're also not winning the freaking Super Bowl. So, So you like Montez Sweat a little bit, John. What did you see from him?
Yeah, he's an interesting player, you know. he seems like a good athlete. He's a guy who actually does a good job of dropping his pad level on rip moves, which is nice. He has rip. What surprised me for his frame is that he actually has good pop in his hands. He just doesn't have the strength in his lower body to sustain after the pop.
Right.
And then pad level rises too high on stunts, and that good athlete. He has a good stutter step that he uses to freeze offensive linemen. That's nice. You see his nice change of direction ability, which is really, really good. And then one thing that really impressed me was that long arm chop move that he hit versus Arkansas. That's a really intricate move that's difficult to hit with timing and to be able to keep your momentum running through the edge track, and he did that very well. So it's very, really intriguing. He's a guy who I think can rise into the first round with some development.
We are on the same page, my friend. Suck it, Trevor. How does this class stack up?
Quickly escape. Where am I not on this page?
You are not as high on Sweat as I was. You said you thought he was like you didn't see anything special. It's the same thing I said about Brian Burns.
It's special. It just sounded like you were talking about him as like a mid first round, near top 10 kind of player.
He has the potential to be a first round pick.
Well, yeah, so do I.
The pass rusher. No, you don't.
So do I.
No.
Oh, I
not unless the Bucks are trading up for a kicker again.
I don't put it past him, bro.
I will not. How does this class stack up to recent years so far? Any small school / under the radar guys we should know about? And what is the biggest trait you look for when evaluating an edge player's pro potential?
I'm not deep enough in my watching to have any like small school guys yet.
Well, Sutton Smith, I guess
that's the one. I don't know how under the radar you can be when you led college football in like sacks and pressures last year, but.
Yeah, true.
Whatever. And then the biggest thing I look for, I'm a cheat, and I'm gonna say hands and feet footwork. I kind of combine those into one. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing that I think translates to the NFL. You see guys that can win with a variety of footwork, and they can use proper hand placement, proper hand timing with their pass rush moves and against the run, and they're gonna be successful, even if they're not fantastic athletes.
Good stuff. Best player besides Nick Bosa right now for you. Who's number two?
Brian Burns.
I figured you would say that.
Yes, sir.
I don't know where this question came from, but thoughts on Herm Edwards?
because I went to ASU.
Oh, okay. So maybe this is from William Corbin. Maybe he's asking you because of that. Go for it.
My thoughts are that Herm Edwards is crazy.
Yes.
But he might be crazy like a fox, hopefully, and hopefully ASU, you know, can't be much worse than what we were doing previous to him.
Yes.
I hope he at least brings us to competitive level in the Pac-12, you know, so that we're not out by week four. I'm actually kind of looking forward to see how this new structure of a football program works out. I don't know how effective it's going to be, or I don't know how big of a fan I am, but I'm just interested to see. I like to see different things tried, and it's going to be interesting to see how this one works out.
Where does the Cowboys edge unit rank with a reinstated Gregory back in the fold?
Oh, probably 10 to 15 range.
Mm-hmm.
DeMarcus, everybody knows I love DeMarcus Lawrence. He was a top three defender for me last year. He's amazing. Cross-top king, him and Yannick Ngakoue. Tyrone Crawford, you know, he's solid. He's a solid player, has power, plays, but he's not going to give you much in the terms of a pass rush. Randy Gregory's back, you know, my man's, but it's his first year back after missing a year and a half, so you can't really expect too much. Maybe he might get – I'll be ecstatic if he gets between 4 and 6 sacks this year. And then outside of that, you got a bunch of guys. You know, you got Taco Charlton, who looks like he's put on some weight. You know, he's bulked up a little bit, which is nice. Hopefully he plays with more power in his hands and because that was a big problem with him last year, was getting
moved on. Is it kind of a concern that Taco's like almost like an afterthought on this group? Like
that's just,
I don't know. It just seems like it's weird.
He was drafted. If he was a more liked prospect coming out and he had the exact same rookie year, we would be excited about him because he's been doing all the right things from a, you know, political perspective. He's been posting all of his training workouts. You know, he's been taking the pictures with the trainers. He's been flexing on us, showing that he's gained more weight. So we'll see if he can transfer that to the field and be more productive on a snap-by-snap basis. He started to flash a little bit towards the very, very end of the year last year. Hopefully he can build on that.
How about this one? Who are your biggest hits and misses? This is for all of us, I think, and this will be our last question. Who are our biggest hits and misses for edge prospects since we started following the draft? This is tough.
Oh, my biggest miss? Oh, I already know. Owamabe Odighizuwa, RIP.
Oh, my gosh, dude. Same.
I loved him coming out. And then I don't know what happened. I don't know if it's a does he like football type of thing or what. Yeah.
Very unusual situation for sure. I was extremely high on him too. I think I had a first round grade on him. Thought he was great. Coaches raved about him, high character and everything. Then he got to the NFL and there was like whispers he didn't care anymore and didn't try. And like, it's just hard to predict, I know. But even when he got on the field, he wasn't that good. So, you know, I just a total miss there. Trying to think of other. Oh, Shaq Lawson. I had Shaq Lawson in my top 10. He's been a complete and utter dud so far. I know he was hurt a little bit his first year, but last year just absolutely nothing as a pass rusher. So way too limited a player. Those are two. Those are probably my two biggest misses. Edge and I was looking through my old rankings. Edge and interior D line have been two of my better ones overall, but those were two big ones. Oh, and Eli Harold. Eli Harold cooked me. Eli Harold was a bad one for me, for sure. I was way too high on him. He was a complete dud as well.
I remember loving Eli Harold until he got locked up by, what was it, Cam Robinson, mm-hmm. Florida State's left tackle. He got locked up by him. And I was like, ooh, maybe I need to back off a little bit.
Oh, Cam Irvin. Yeah. I remember that too. What about you, Trevor?
Trying to think off pretty the top of my head.
Pretty much a perfect track record, huh?
No. I mean, I fell into the Deion Jordan trap like everybody else kind of did. Oh, obviously, the NFL did. So, I mean, like, I was super high on Deion Jordan. I thought he was going to be, like, the next greatest NFL pass rusher. I don't really know how to say. Like, I thought Fowler was going to be really, really good. And yeah. I think he's okay, but he's certainly not lived up to the pick that he was. So, I guess I would kind of still consider that a miss, even though he's been fine on a productive defensive line. I thought he'd be way better than he is right now.
It's interesting because he missed his whole first year. He missed his whole first year. Then he was just okay as a rookie. Then he was good last year. So he's trending in the right direction for sure. I don't know if he'll, you know, it's hard to tell because they have so much talent, but he was legitimately good as a pass rusher this year.
So, also no expense, but like the jury's still kind of out on him because he's missed the last 2 years with a shoulder injury. So, right. But again, like I thought Noah Spence was going to be, I literally thought Spence was just going to be the steal of the draft, him last in the second round. And that was even before the Bucs picked him. I was like, anybody who gets Noah Spence is getting a incredible pass rusher now. And it's like the injuries have not been great. And he's been moving weight up and down a bunch. He just needs to find a comfortable weight for him. And I hope we get to see like the better talent of Noah Spence. That'd be nice.
What about hits? For me, I mean, Carl Lawson for at least John and I. Trevor, where were you on Carl Lawson?
Not as high as you guys were, but I think...
Round two or something?
Like, yeah, no, he was a day two guy for me, yeah. For sure. But I think, like, there were a bunch of, like, character concern things that came up with Lawson. Like, no. Was a weird... What?
Not Lawson.
Who am I thinking of?
I don't know who you're thinking of, but it wasn't... There were no character concerns.
Oh, no. For injury, right?
Injury concerns.
Sorry. Concern, I remember there was a red flag with him, but I thought it was character, but no, right, it's totally injury. Yeah. There were a bunch of injury things, and I was super reserved for him. Mm-hmm. I thought he was good, but I was like, I don't know how soon I'd take this guy. So,
trying to think of other hits. I mean, I've been right about a lot of guys that ended up being bad in the NFL that other people hyped up. You know,
I think so that far, counts as a hit.
Yeah, so far, Taco, Bud Dupree. Ryan Anderson didn't do anything his rookie year. People were talking.
Oh, I like Bud Dupree. Round. Okay, that's a miss. I like Bud Dupree.
Yeah, it was.
I hit on this really under the radar guy. I don't know if you've heard of him from Texas A&M, Myles Garrett.
Wow, what am a take by you!
It was tough. It was tough.
Am I allowed to claim Nathan Shepard as a win already? Because I'm going to do that. Nathan Shepard. There you go.
He's not even an edge prospect.
Don't care.
Just naming random players now.
Amazing. John, really appreciate you coming on the show, man. Really good stuff. Follow him on Twitter, ladies and gentlemen, at John, J-O-H-N, owning. He really great follow for lots of stuff, lots of breakdowns, and make sure you check out his new podcast as well. John, thanks so much for joining us, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, thank you guys for having me on. It was a blast.
Absolutely. Awesome. Fan Friday, we'll be back next week. We talk linebackers. Connor Rogers is joining us next week early on the show. We're excited for that. He's going to help us break down some of the top linebackers in the class. So until then, you keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.